Now back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
What grows on a grapevine? Grapes. And what do grapes become?
Healthy snack.
There you go, man. See? That's it all good. Ties in.
Of course it does.
If you have a craving for raisins, it's because of this song.
Is it bad that I thought wine?
No. It's not that. But we are all making our way through this together, and some of us do it different ways. However,
comma.
All in moderation.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, I'm sitting
here to talk about healthy kids, so, you know, great.
Well, that's what we were doing. Yeah. Well, and I've got my orange, so I'm all set to go. Greg's here, Concord Food Co-op. Allison and Angela are here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it a good thing you're not on Zoom? Is there a glass of wine in front of you?
No.
Yeah, mommy's juice.
Yeah.
Coffee.
Yes, I know. I got it right next to me.
No, this is mommy's Yeti. Leave it alone.
Wow. But you know what? It is important. While we all have the kids home, it may be making us a little crazy. I think we're getting a little more used to it now. But you really do have to keep the kids
engaged,
healthy, and not just send them off to the pantry for snacks on their own.
Right.
Right. Because what habits we're establishing now, you know, will definitely hold when this thing is over. And so we need to stay consistent for their sake.
Good point.
It's true. Because then they know, because the more routine you can inject, the safer kids are going to feel.
All right. Yeah, they thrive on routine. Thrive on it.
We got to back up here. We're putting the cart ahead of the horse.
Oh, okay. Then let's get
going. Because I didn't introduce Greg or Allison or Angela.
Okay, very good.
Okay, so we've got it back. Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
For the Concord Food Co-op, how are you?
Splendid. I'm actually sitting in my car in the co-op parking lot, because that way the intercom system won't go off while we're chatting.
Thank you for that. That's very...
No, I kind of like that, though.
Well, you know, you have to go from where you're at.
Assistance, okay. Aisle 2, please. You know, that I like that, but that's okay. So, everybody well at the co-op, adjusting well to the ongoing issues?
Yeah, I mean, every day is an adjustment, as I think is obvious. But the curbside pickup is going exceptionally well. So if you're 60 and older, or are at risk, or somebody in your household is at risk, you can go online and complete an order form, and just email it to us, and we'll pick the order for you. And I mean, that's going so well. Actually, that's what I'm doing this afternoon, is assisting with picking orders anyway.
Now, let me ask you, Greg, once the pandemic is over, and it will pass, are you still going to keep the curbside service, or will that go away?
I would doubt it. We had an online store, and we promoted it for well over a year. There was just not enough interest, and we had to sunset it. So, unfortunately, the cost of turning it back on is very high, and so we're really not sure if when this is over, it's going to warrant it. We have a long term contract to turn it back on and everything. So you know, prior to this, there wasn't enough interest in it. I think individuals really like coming into the co-op and picking their produce and the grab and go stuff and the salad bar, et cetera. So our experience was different than some places where their curbside pickup. But you know, right now, obviously, it's very, very much in demand. But it's sort of risky to try to project whether individuals would continue to use that service or not.
Yeah, but we just keep hearing that, you know, the way we educate and the way we shop are going to change forever because of this. Whether, if in fact that's true or not, as you pointed out, we don't know. But if people get trained to this, is it something they might say, you know, I kind of like that. I don't know. Yeah. Just wondering.
Yeah, we're actually debating it every day and working through numbers, et cetera. So it's something with it we may still be going forward with. We're working with the individuals that can make that happen, but haven't quite made that decision yet.
Right, but again, everything is fluid right now, Greg. Everything is fluid right now. But if you're at home with the kids and you got to kind of keep focused on doing right by them instead of just don't make noise while dad's working. You really have to kind of maybe work a little extra harder at it.
Don't make noise while mom is working.
Well, both.
Okay, don't be sexist. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying.
Thank you.
I was just using I statements.
Angela, Allison, I got there before you did, okay?
Yeah, thank you for having our back.
Allison DeStefano Lelos, she's the one with the coffee, not the wine. Owner of Karma Kids NH, local teacher, yoga instructor, and health coach, providing yoga and meditation services for children, teachers, and caregivers to support big emotions and busy lifestyles. For more info, you can contact Karma Kids NH at 568-2763 or karmakidsnh@gmail.com. So, busy time for you, Allison?
Busy and close to home. So, you know, with everything being close to home and having a three-year-old, I'm not out in the community, but that time will come again.
Does the three-year-old understand why we're not doing play dates?
Yes.
Okay.
He actually is pretty with it. Yeah, we do yoga together.
I'm sorry, he or she?
He.
Okay.
He's better than I am.
No. Great. Well, awesome. Probably more limber at three, you know.
Yeah. I'm pretty jealous.
So what does yoga at three instill in a child?
Well, first, I kind of want to hear Angela's credentials.
Well, I'm going to get to her, but I'm asking a question for you before I move to Angela.
Sorry.
Come on. You've been on here, Allison. You know how this works.
Yeah, it's different every time.
I've never been with Angela before. I'm excited to learn about her. Anyway, so what was the question?
The question is, what does a three-year-old take away from yoga, and what does yoga instill in a three-year-old?
Well, all the things that are instilled in an adult. Like, as a three-year-old, he learns how to calm his body. He's learning how to take deep breaths and acknowledge when he needs to be taking those deep breaths. But he's also learning kind of the power of his body. And, you know, taking care of your body allows you to do all these things. And so having a healthy body will allow you to be and jump and run and do all the things that you want to do. So he's understanding the concept, not on a deeper level, but he definitely knows how to use it to feel better and to kind of move his body in another way that, you know, a lot of people don't use. So it's a nice complement to all the other running and jumping and climbing and whatever else he does.
Right. Well, exactly. And I think it also gives them an intro to mindfulness, if you will, if they have to slow themselves down, if they have to be present in the moment. I mean, without clubbing them over the head with it, I think they're picking that up.
He definitely does. He can sit and he knows to start doing deep breaths. And, you know, he's getting more in touch with that being a strategy for calming himself down.
Oh, that's cool.
Allison, is this unique to this period that you're doing home yoga with him, or... And if so, is this something that you know, the question is, you know, the good habits that we're are they going to become habits? The ways that we're getting out with the family and exercising, do you think people are going to maintain that when this is done?
I certainly hope so. I think a lot of people have had to think more about how they're living their lives, how they have been living their lives, and what changes they want to make in the future. I think a lot of people are doing a lot of reflecting and realizing maybe some things that have fallen by the wayside up until now. And so maybe they're getting in touch with those things. But also, too, some people, you know, we kind of cope with all of this in very different ways. And so some people may have gone to yoga that haven't started yoga. There are plenty of apps and things like that. But I think people are going to be a lot more mindful about how they're taking care of themselves after this. Just like you were saying earlier with, like, the grocery store, this is going to change our perspectives and how we carry ourselves in the world for forever.
All right. Kale Assistance, light aisle two. Kale Assistance, aisle two. Sorry, Greg. And now the person, and now the person that everybody in the trio is waiting to hear from, Angela Bergen, who holds a health psychology PhD. Hello, Angela. Where'd you go?
She said good morning. She said good morning already. Yeah.
She's a mental health clinician who takes a strengths-based perspective, a wellness educator and consultant helping healthcare providers implement lifestyle medicine programs into their practice to improve patient outcomes. You can reach out to Angela at strengthsrising@gmail.com. Wow, that's a lot of bases you're covering there, Angela.
Wellness is a big thing.
It is. It's a huge thing, and it's for all of us.
Are we getting better at it? I mean, people know. I mean, you know, there are needs and wants in life. And people know what the right thing is, especially when it comes to eating and healthy habits and stuff. But the chips and the ice cream is immediate, and that takes care of the little, you know, the frontal cortex lobe that's the pleasure palace there says, oh, but the ice cream would be so much better. And we succumb to that. We know the difference, but what does it take to make people do the right thing?
Well, I think moderation is important, right? Like it's more about what are you eating the rest of the day rather than focusing so much, like a strengths-based approach. What are you having that's healthy rather than focusing so much on the ice cream, you know?
Oh, good point. Good point. So how receptive to what you're talking about, lifestyle medicine programs, how receptive are healthcare providers to accommodate you and these into their practice?
It really depends on the level of exposure and education of the practitioner. Some wellness professionals are not quite as much into the holistic realm as others, and so it's more appropriate to find those that are holistic-minded, because then we speak the same language and you can have, you know, more helpful conversations around their patients. So in that sense, it really just does depend on kind of finding your match.
Do you reach out to them, or do they find a few free minutes and reach out to you to find out how you can augment their practice?
I primarily will reach out to them and find a space where I may be able to help their patient base at another level, which is great.
And improve patient outcomes, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And even with a strengths-based perspective in all areas, including so in mental health, you know, it's been interesting the past couple of weeks. At first, when this started, there was a lot of silence. There was not as many calls coming into our crisis line, and it was eerily quiet. And now things are starting to pick back up, as you can imagine. So I'm just reminding people about their strengths and that this is temporary, which is easier said than done for a lot of folks who struggle with, you know, getting things off their mind. It can be really challenging for them. So a strengths-based perspective, a wellness approach does come in really handy, even in little conversations with folks all the time.
But it's initiating those conversations. That's frequently right. The hard part.
Right.
So, Allison, are you homebound or are you out and about at all?
Oh, no. Homebound. I went into self-quarantine like 5 weeks ago just because, you know, I have parents over 60, a three-year-old, and so very much homebound. I've only been out, I think, twice to the grocery store.
Now, is it bothering you? I mean, or do you find a certain comfort in that familiarity?
I'm a busy, busy person. I like keeping busy, so I've found peace in the fact that I have to stay close to my home. It's kind of helping me do a lot of reflecting about things that I want to do for my family to be healthy and things that we want to kind of have implemented after the fact. But I'm just trying to keep normalcy for my son as well, because he's not going to daycare anymore. So just trying to keep everything low-key, you know, going along with the routine, just so he kind of keeps that intact as well. So it's bugging me not to be out because I love socializing and being with other people, but, you know, it's for the betterment of everybody. So
how hard is it going to be once, he's obviously grooving on mom time. This is really great. but when we get back to, quote unquote, you know, real life.
Normal.
Yeah. How tough is it going to be to go back to, you know, to he's doing his thing at daycare, and you're doing your thing, and you've got that distancing that you don't have right now.
It will probably be an adjustment for him, because he's very much, you know, his dad would kill me, but he's very much a mama's boy, and so it'll be hard for him to go back to another location. But that's why keeping in the with the routine, I'm hoping, will help now, because if we're in the habit of having set meal times, having set snack times, mm-hmm. like not having fun foods all the time and not staying up late and, you know, not treating it like a vacation, it will be easier than maybe it normally would be when we do transition back. It'll be hard not being together all day long, but
right.
It is definitely, it will be definitely good for him to go back to his routine with his friends and mm-hmm. back to his school. But we're just doing what we can to stay, you know, keep those habits intact now so it's not so hard later.
Right.
And again, that's the routine thing again.
Yeah.
Hey, Greg, at the co-op, have the items that people are shopping for now differ from what they were before this whole pandemic started?
Primarily in that they're buying products with a greater, longer shelf life. They're buying a lot more of those. So the frozen stuff still hasn't, a lot of the frozen items still have not been able to be restocked yet. They've just got wiped out at the wholesale level. So, but, you know, even fresh produce, surprisingly, is up considerably. But again, even on your show the other day, I was listening to how, you know, milk is out at a lot of the grocery stores.
Right.
And again, as I learned from your show, and that's because kids used to get their milk at school, and now they're all home consuming the milk. So, you know, some of the products that individuals have been furloughed or they're at home, they bought their lunches at restaurants and other places downtown. And now, so they're having to make that at home. So yes, a lot of the items that individuals would have otherwise been purchasing through, you know, or obtaining their meals other ways, they're now having to buy it at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So eggs are tough to keep in, milk is tough to keep in, and the produce, we're fortunate that we have a very abundant produce department, but produce sales are up 40%.
Are you finding people picking up more supplements?
Oh, that definitely, and that was really at the onset, especially. A lot of the sections there were initially wiped out and have been since restocked. But that was a big item.
Okay, now the big question: do you have toilet paper?
that comes in small quantities. I'm sure we have a limit on what can be purchased there, but. That is generally in stock, but in small quantities.
Okay, yay. I never fully understood the rush on that, but anyway.
Me neither.
8:51. We have to take one quick break. Going to be back with Greg and Allison and Angela right after this. The apples, peaches part are good. Pumpkin pie, moderation. Moderation. 8:55 is the time. Concord Food Co-op, in the house on the radio, kind of. Greg, how is Rounded Up going at the cash register?
Well, the customer count is down considerably, so is Rounded Up. So unfortunately, you know, now that individuals have really stockpiled, there's less, customers coming into the store, and those that do come in are just purchasing larger amounts, so to limit the amount of times that they have to come back. So,
gotcha.
Reduced customer count is just less opportunities to round up at the register.
But that program will be once we get back to again normalcy. That program will be off and running again in a big way.
Oh, yeah. It's been so well embraced. I mean, we're up to thus far from the program's been almost in existence for a year now, and it has raised $46,000 for local nonprofits.
Well, let me ask a question to Angela. We've talked about this before with younger kids. And when they see, if people are watching television or listening to the radio, they're hearing these you know, stories over and over, the number of deaths and blah, blah, blah. It's actually the same numbers, but we're hearing the story about 12 different times. Does that, you know, kids don't necessarily know that, oh, that's the same story that they ran 6 hours ago if they've just, you know, recycled it. Do they think, oh, my gosh, it's just going on and on and on?
We don't have TV on in our house. Generally, it's something that only comes on sporadically. So the news is not something that's running. And I, even on my phone, if I'm reading the news, I don't read it out loud. So we've talked about how there's a lot of people dying, of course, from the virus. And we've talked about that in our family with our children. But it's not something that they're exposed to outside of us verbalizing that to them. So I don't think I have the best perspective to answer that one.
Well, but you're keeping it simple, yet right. You're keeping them updated.
Very simple.
You don't really need, especially if you have smaller kids, you don't need a lot of detail.
No, and I try to avoid the, it is a catastrophe, but I try to avoid them thinking that there anything to do with their world could possibly be a catastrophe. Right? Try to keep it safe and just let them know that we're doing fine. We're sad for the people who are struggling, but we're holding this space and doing our part by staying home as much as possible. And, definitely keeping it simple for them so that they don't get scared.
See, I like that though. And I think that's something, that's a takeaway that people should have, that if you do have kids, depending on the age, I mean, again, 3, 8, 10, if they're being exposed to this, whether through print, social media, television, radio, whatever, they don't necessarily, with age comes perspective. Okay. Mm-hmm. They don't have perspective.
Yeah.
So that's, it's incumbent upon the parents to kind of say, okay, hang on and, you know, explain it. Am I wrong?
I agree. I mean, being careful, you know, who's in earshot when you're talking about the rising number of deaths, you know, maybe say that in private later to somebody else or watch what you're saying on the phone to somebody, because kids are always listening.
Now, Allison, I know, again, you talked about yoga, meditation. A lot of people starting to, depending on their particular situation, jobs or whatever, how do they meditate? And we're going to run down on time, but what's the best way to meditate? How long do I need to do it?
Well, there's really no one best way to do it, and there's no set amount of time. Anytime you can devote sitting still and giving yourself the opportunity to slow down, to calm your mind, even if your mind is all over the place, giving yourself a moment to take a couple of deep breaths, is very helpful, because if you're focusing on counting breaths, that's one less thing you're thinking about externally. And so it can be walking meditation. You can be listening to an app. You can be sitting in stillness. You can be journaling. It's finding those opportunities to kind of disconnect.
Angela, Allison, and Greg, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
We miss you. Thank you.
We'll be back together before you know it, we promise.